you have be used by God, God will use those very things. And that is true because, in a sense, a man many times is able to abide in the calling wherein he was called. Or in other words, he is able to continue doing the things that he knows best to do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 24, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." God uses us with the talents and the abilities that we already have. If we surrender them to God, he uses those things for his honor and for his glory. We just maybe swap doing it for different reasons. Peter swaps one net for another. Matthew keeps on dipping his pen in ink, but instead of serving as an IRS agent for Caesar, he now is an inspired recorder for God. Samson is caught with the jawbone of a donkey, but he is able to use this jawbone to put to flight the enemies of Israel, and in fact use the jawbone to kill 1,000 Philistines. He is able to do with a jawbone of a donkey what Audie Murphy was able to do with a machine gun. God just blessed him because he was able to use whatever Samson had in his hand. Whatever was in his hand at that moment was the very thing that God would anoint and that God would bless and what God would use. David became a shepherd of Israel in exchange for one of Jesse's flocks. And Amos goes right on shaking trees to get fruit. He just changes from sycamore trees to oaks. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, what is that in your hand?" Moses says, "A rod." God says, "Throw it on the ground. Throw it down. Cast it down." So he threw it down. And the Lord said, "What is it now, Moses?" "A snake." The rod had become a snake. And so God tells him to pick it up. What is the Lord saying to Moses through all of this? Why was he telling him to cast down the rod? He's saying, "Moses, I've got your riches. Moses, I've got your kingdom. Moses, I've got your fame. Now I want your rod. Now I want everything. I want one last surrender from you. I want you to surrender it all. Let me have your rod." And Moses gave the rod to God, and he gave everything that he had to God. When it turned into a snake, at first Moses started to flee from it. I would too. I'm with Mai. I wouldn't like the snakes very much. But in obedience to the Lord, Moses put forth his hand and he caught it. I don't know what Moses did, but you know, I wouldn't have went to sleep very easily at night with that rod laying next to me till I first checked it over and made sure it hadn't become a snake again. But Moses gave the rod to God. God gave the rod back to Moses to perform miracles with. But do you know that from this time forth, this is no longer called the rod of Moses? It is called the rod of God. From here on out, it's God's property. Now it belongs to God. It is the rod of God. Today I would like to talk to you about what you have left. See, the world judges by how much a person gives. The Lord judges by how much a person has left. God's not so concerned about the amount on the check as he is the balance in the account. Do you know that the greatest giver of all gave two mites? And yet Jesus said that she gave more than everybody else. Why? Because she gave it all. I'd like to ask you today, what is it that you haven't given to God yet? Some of you might have given God a lot, but you still have a lot left. When God called me to preach, I didn't have a lot to give. In fact, you should have heard some of my first sermons. But I gave it all to him. And I realized that God wants it all. God's not satisfied until he has it all. He doesn't care how much it is. He just wants it all. God can do more with a little person who gives all of it than he can with a big person who gives most of it. It's not how much you give to God, but how much of it you give to God. And that's why the person who is we would think would be the most unlikely person for God to use is the people that God uses. He might not have much talent. He might not be much to look at. He might not have popularity. He might not have much of this world's goods. But he has gotten to a place where he said, God, I'm putting it all on the altar. Lord, I surrender everything to you. God, you can have it all. I will not hold anything back from you. And God takes it. Like God took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and feeds the multitude. He takes the widow's mite, and as it hits the bottom of the collection plate, the sound is heard all over the world. God takes a little maid to witness to the power of God through the prophet Elisha. And she convinces the captain of the army of Assyria to visit Elisha. And when he does, he is healed and his life is spared from leprosy. God takes a little water and turns it into wine. I'm saying again, God doesn't look at how much we give, but how much we have left. Do you know that that means that the poorest person here can give as much as the richest person? That means that the most unlikely person to succeed here is as readily to succeed as the most likely person here. That means that the least talented person in these pews can do as much for God as the most talented person sitting in that pew. Why? Because God doesn't bless by how much you give, but he blesses by how much of it you give. And I'm here to tell you today that he will bless you beyond measure if you would simply give it all. It's not an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that at all. But, you know, God wants it all because he wants to bless us. And he cannot bless that which we hold back and that which we keep for ourselves. Look back through history and see whom God has used. A left fielder for the Chicago White Sox, Billy Sunday, who couldn't speak good English. A Dwight Moody who never had a college education. Somebody came to Mr. Moody one day and said, Mr. Moody, did you know that you made 9 grammatical mistakes in your speech tonight? Moody answered, I've won 100,000 souls with those grammatical mistakes. How many have you won without yours? Where did God find Moses anyway? Where did God originally find him? Originally, it wasn't in the palace of Egypt. It was in the ark, floating among bulrushes. And he used his only possession, his rod, to part the Red Sea. He spoke to the water and gushed out. He led 3 million people through the wilderness. You try to get 100 people moving the same way. Moses led 3 million people through a wilderness. What a man he was. What an incredible man Moses was, but he was nothing but a helpless little boy at one point. His mother took him to the Nile River and put him in an ark where she thought she might never, ever see him again. She put him in this ark and she put him in this river among the crocodiles and everything else. She doesn't know if she can save him. She doesn't know if she can spare his life, but she wants to try. She has faith in God. He is such a goodly child. That's where Moses came from. Gideon was the runt kid from the runt family of the runt tribe of the runt nation of the world. He was so timid that when God found him, he was hiding behind a wine press. But God used Gideon and 300 men to put to flight the army of the Midianites. You know, the angel, I love that story. The angel came to Gideon and said, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. What's he doing? He's hiding behind the wine press. But God sees something in Gideon that not even Gideon knew that he had. And the Lord calls him. And the first 3 words out of Gideon's mouth was, Oh my Lord. You mean you want me? Do you mean that you are calling me? And you know what? Some of you might be saying that very same thing today. If God were to call your name, oh my Lord, do you mean me? Yes, I mean you. Listen, what this nation needs is not a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees, but a bunch of dedicated paupers. This nation needs rich people and poor people, big people and small people, strong people and weak people who will say, I will give it all to God. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. What is your hand this morning? Let's get a little personal. What is it in your hand that you are hiding from God? What is the thing that you are hiding from God? What is that thing that you are keeping from yielding to God? Is there something in your heart? Is there something that is hidden in your bank account? Is there something in your life that you are hanging on to? You have given most things to God, but not everything. God wants it all. God wants it all. What is it? Let God have it. Let's look at a few stories this morning. Look at what God did with a little meal. A man of God, Elijah, went to Zarephath. There was a little widow there. He asked for a drink of water, and as she went to get him a drink of water, he said, wait a minute, bring me a cake too. Bring me a cookie too. She answered back, I don't have anything. All I've got is one small handful of meal, and I'm going to fix that for my family. It's all that we have left in the house. And the man of God says, okay, fix that for me. She could have said, why, you selfish man. Don't you know that this is the only thing that is standing between my family and starvation? And you want to have it, you want to have the only thing that we have left? But she didn't do that. She made a cake for Elisha, and she made it all. And she gave everything that she had. Do you know what happened? As long as she lived, she never needed any more meal. God took care of her. Do you know why? Because she gave everything to God. I don't know that we really understand that when we give to God, He takes care of us. We think that we have to take care of ourselves, but if we surrender to Him, He'll take care of us. He can do a better job of taking care of us than we can ourselves. We have the wrong idea that we have to care for ourselves. God will take care of us. There was a little lady in the Bible who gave a little oil. Elisha came to a certain house, and there was a preacher's widow there. She was having a hard time making ends meet. They had been found to be in debt, and the prophet had died. And Elisha says, what do you have in the house? She says, I have a little oil. That's all. That's all I have. It's just a little oil. Elisha says, pour it out. Pour it out? Yes, pour it out. I want you to give it. But before you do, I want you to go to all of your neighbors and I want you to get as many pots and pans as you can. So she has her sons go to in the neighborhood and they gather up as many pots and pans as they possibly can find. And the prophet says, pour it out. And in those three words, you find the secret to the Christian life. Not take it in, but pour it out. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. Do you know that that is secret, the secret to service to God? Pour it out. Whatever you have, pour it out to God. Give it to Him. And the widow, she just takes that little bit of oil that she has and she starts to pour. And it fills one pot after another. And she pours and it keeps coming and coming and coming until they were able to fill all the pots that they had gathered. They were to take the oil, they sold it, and they were able to pay off all of their debts. You tell me, what's the secret? It's pouring it out. If she had never poured it out, she would have never seen the miracle take place. She would have never experienced the provision of God. She would not have seen all of her debts being erased right in front of her very eyes. I'm telling you, the secret to the Christian life is pouring it out. It's giving it all for God. It's laying it out there on the line. We can't afford to be selfish. It's not what can we get or what can I get. No, it's what's left. What do I have left to give to God and then give it to God? You have a little meal, then give it to God. And the meal will keep coming. You have a little oil, then give it to God, and the oil will keep coming. One day a lady came to the temple. She wanted to give something. She didn't have much. She had two little mites. I'm sure that she's human. She probably reasoned, what if I just give one? What if I give one half? 50% of what I have in this offering. But instead, she gave it all. Do you think she starved? Of course not. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we have need of will be given unto us as well. The Apostle Paul gave it all. He was a Pharisee, he had riches, but he gave it all up and he counted it all loss. The word he used was dung. I can consider it all dung. The only thing that matters to me is the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. How many of you would like to be like Paul? Boy, I would like to be like Paul. People like to be like Paul. But you know the reason Paul was great was not because of his preaching. The reason Paul was great was because he gave it all up. He gave everything to God. He held nothing back. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given my riches. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given up my position. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given up my prestige. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given up my future. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given up my friends. What's in your hand, Moses? I've given up my country. What's in your hand, Moses? A rod. Cast it down. If you want to be used by God, then let it go. See, nothing can be used by God if you hang on to it. But if you give it to God, he will use it. And you will be amazed at what God can do with the smallest of things. You will be amazed with what God can do with your little bitty talent. You will be amazed at what God can do with things that you think are insignificant. You would be amazed at what God can do through a rod. You can be amazed at what God can do through a jawbone of a donkey. God can use whatever you give to him. And you know what? The thing that is hardest for you to give is the very thing God wants you to give. And I think that many of you have surrendered much to God, and yet there are some here, the Holy Spirit right now is speaking to your heart, and he's saying, there's that one thing. There's that one thing that you have held back. Do you know that that one thing that you are holding back is the very thing that God wants to use to bring greatness into your life? It's the one thing that will establish your ministry upon this earth. It's the one thing that is the hardest thing for you to surrender and give up. But it's the one thing that will be blessed above all else. Give it to God. Yeah, it won't be yours anymore, okay? Chances are God will give it back to you. But now it'll be used for his glory instead of your own. Most of the people in the Bible held something back. Come with me this morning to the Valley of Achor. In the valley is a pile of stones. Somebody's buried there. After a great victory at Jericho, God said, "Don't take any of the spoils from Jericho. Those are mine. You can have the spoils from the rest of the cities that we conquer, but Jericho belongs to me. Jericho's mine. If you take of those spoils, you are taking of the accursed thing." Here comes Achan. He starts to dig around in the rubbish. And he finds a Babylonian garment. Those were the nicest garments of the day. He digs around a little more and he finds some gold and silver. He looks around to make sure nobody is watching and he puts it in his pocket. He's careful that nobody has seen him. He looks to the left, he looks to the right, he looks straight ahead, but he forgets to look up. And he takes this Babylonian garment and he takes the gold and silver and he goes to his tent, and being careful that he wasn't followed and that nobody was watching him, he digs a hole in his tent. And he places the garment and the gold and the silver in the hole in the tent, and then he covers it up. He buries it. The next battle should have been an easy victory. After Jericho, this should have been an easy victory for the Israelites, but they lost. Word comes to Joshua from the Lord. Somebody has sinned. Joshua said, I got to know who has sinned. They went into Achan's tent and they found the accursed thing. Achan and his whole family were put to death. They were stoned. Why? Because he kept something that belonged to God. Do you have something in your hand that belongs to God? How about your tithe? Is there something that you haven't given God? You know, he wants complete surrender. God wants all of your life. He wants ownership of it. And if you don't know how freeing it is to surrender everything, try it. It is completely freeing because now we own nothing. But whatever you own soon owns you. If you own nothing, it's freedom. Do you know that Joseph was steward over everything that Pharaoh had, but he didn't own a thing? And I really believe that's the way the Christian should live. Everything that we have, we need to dedicate it to God. I'm not saying that you have to be no money in your bank account. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying that if God were to call upon you to give that money, we need to be willing. I think the Christian should live so that everything that he has is dedicated to God. And we, like Joseph, are stewards of everything, although we don't own a thing. We are stewards of God. Come with me to a cemetery outside of Jerusalem. A couple is buried there. There are some strange things about their death. First of all, they died prematurely. And secondly, they died in church. I have never yet seen anybody die in church. It's happened. Had a pastor who one time after he left our church died while preaching. I thought, well, that would be the way to go. But I've never seen anybody die in church. But they didn't die because they had done something right. Barnabas had sold some land and given the money to God. Ananias and Sapphira said they had some land that they were going to sell. They said that they were giving it all, but they held back. And there would have been nothing wrong with maybe keeping some for themselves if they were honest about it. But instead, they lied. They said they gave it all to God. They gave it all. And they came, Ananias, first of all, came to church one morning. Peter said, Ananias, did you sell the land for such and such a price? Did you give all the money to the church? Did you give it all to God? Yes, I did. And immediately Ananias drops over dead. His wife, Sapphira, comes in later, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Peter says to her, did you sell the land for such and such a price? Yeah, we did. And she drops dead immediately as well. You see, they said they were giving it all, but they held back. At least be truthful. At least be honest with God. They lied. They said that they gave it all, but they didn't. God in his omnipotence knows when we hide from him. Go with me to a place called Ashdod. There is a mound there. A king's head is buried there, just the head. His body is buried somewhere else. Just the head is buried at Ashdod. What's the king's name? Saul. God told him to kill all the Amalekites, all of the cattle, but he held back. He kept the best of the sheep and oxen. Samuel said, Saul, did you obey the Lord? He said, yeah, I did. I destroyed everything. Samuel said, then what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen that I hear? What's in your hand, Saul? Well, I did keep a little bit. God took his power from Saul because he held back. One day in battle, Saul fell upon his own sword. The Philistines came along and cut off his head, and they took it back to Ashdod, where the temple of their god Dagon was. And for a while, Saul's head hung on the wall of the temple. And everybody that went into that temple saw the disgrace and saw the defeat of Saul. He kept back from God. Do you know that Saul was at one time the tallest, most handsomest, goodliest man in all of Israel? Now, we usually think that God wants our money, but that's not all. In fact, the money is just a small part of it. If God has you, he'll have your money, he'll have everything. What he really wants is you. What he really wants is your heart. God wants your heart. He wants you just the way you are. But He wants your heart. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. Yes, He wants your talent. Yes, He wants your future. God wants your time. But more than anything else, God wants your love. And He wants your devotion. He can do with your gifts. He wants your heart, though, because He knows that if He has your heart, He has it all. You know, you cannot account for how God uses simple men without this truth today, is that some men gave more than others. Some men gave everything that they had while others held back. It's the only explanation. What do you have in your hand, Moses? A rod. Cast it down. What do you have in your cupboard, little lady? A little meal. Let me have it. What do you have in your hand, lady? A little oil. Pour it out. Do you know the sad truth is that there is a man burning in hell today? He came to Jesus one day and asked what good thing he could do to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him to go and sell all that he had, give it to the poor, and then come and follow him, and he would find treasure in heaven. That man went away sorrowful because he could not give the one thing God asked of him. He could not open up his hand and let go. Today, he is still sorrowful, and he will be forever and ever and ever through all eternity. Only eternity will reveal. Listen to me. Only eternity will reveal what God could have done if you had given Him everything. What is in your hand today? Would you open it up? And would you let it go? And would you let God have it? Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart today. He's tugging on your heart. He's speaking to you about one thing. And He says, would you let me have it? If you don't know what it is today, just check your heart and ask yourself if God has your whole heart. That's what He wants more than anything. If He has your heart, He has what He needs of you. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed today? You say, Pastor, I've given so much. And I know that. There are people here you have given. I'm not questioning that at all. You have given a lot. But as that song goes, you cannot truly be blessed until all on the altar you lay. Is there one thing that you have not placed on the altar? The hardest thing for Abraham to give up, he gave up a lot. He gave up his homeland. He gave up his son Ishmael. But then he was asked to put his Isaac on the altar. The most precious thing, the dearest thing in all the world to him, the promised son. God said, Abraham, give him up. Give up your son. Put him on the altar. Do you know the New Testament makes a tremendous statement? It says that Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But Abraham lived thousands of years before Jesus. Here's what I think happened. I think that when Abraham placed Isaac on the altar, God gave him a glimpse of the true Isaac. He had a revelation of Jesus Christ. Your greatest revelations of Christ will be when you place your Isaac on the altar. The most precious thing that you have, the thing that you are holding on to, maybe it's the only thing that you have left. When you pour it out, when you put it on the altar, when you say, God, I'm giving you everything. I give you all. You can have it all, God. That's when you find true blessing and fulfillment, peace, joy, meaning, happiness in life. That's when you have it all. The Bible is so peculiar at times. We have to give up before we get what we want out of life. How many here today say, Pastor, God has been speaking to me about something that I need to give to Him, something that I need to open my hand with and I need to let go? I've given things to God before, but He's asking for something that I've held on to. Could I see your hand up and then down? Amen. 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 You will not regret putting it on the altar today. You will not regret giving it to God. You will not regret pouring it out. I promise you that. How many here, Pastor, God's not speaking to me about any one particular thing, but as far as I know, He has my whole heart. And if He speaks to me about something, I would be willing to give it up. I'd be willing to surrender it to Him. Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here today and you haven't given God everything, be honest about that. Just be honest. If you're at the place where you'd like to be able to give it up, but you just can't, you're meeting with resistance, just ask the Lord to soften your heart, bring you to a place where you'd be willing to give it up. Lord, we thank You for those hands today. We thank You for what You can do through the things that we surrender to You. We thank You for what You can do through us when we surrender ourselves to You. We thank You for this lesson in Your Word today. And we thank You, Lord, that You are no respecter of persons, and everybody here has the same opportunity to be great in Your kingdom by learning to be the servant of all. Take these things that we offer You. Take our lives. Use us for Your glory. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence day. Verse 4.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. All to Thee.
victory in your life is only as far as you surrendered. The more you surrender, the more victorious you are. The more Jesus has of you and of yours, the more victory you have. Our victory is in Him. We conquer by letting Him conquer us. We win through surrender. All the paradoxes of the Christian life. God's ways are not always man's ways. His thoughts are not always thoughts. Many are thoughts. Many times they're the opposite of our natural inclination. That's a tough message today. I realize that. I just want you to be blessed. I'm not condemning anybody. I just want you to be blessed. I want you to live in the fullness of Christ. And I found that surrendering is a daily thing. It's not just a one-time act. It's a daily part of life, part of the Christian life. Keep surrendering. And the quicker you surrender, the better off you will be.